Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar. I hope no one saw that. Thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, How to Increase Your Appointment Show Ratio Today. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today, and today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the brand new Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. We have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have the one and only Jennifer Suzuki as our presenter today. Jennifer Suzuki is the founder and president of eDealer Solutions, Inc., an award-winning education and activity-based training company based on improving dealership showed appointments, sales, and management processes. Her 21 years of experience include president of eDealer Solutions, in-dealership sales trainer, guest instructor at NADA Academy, an NADA multi-year convention speaker, OEM, state association, and 20-group speaker, and recent WIA keynote presenter, and of course, a Northwood University graduate. She has a tremendous reputation for delivering significant success for dealerships looking for up-to-date phone skills and profitable actions that convert non-present buyers to showroom customers. She can be reached at Jennifer at eDealerSolution.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference, and please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at eDealership Solutions are giving away an awesome prize today on the webinar. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $100 Visa gift card. Everyone could use that. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned. You could be the one winning this awesome prize today. And hey, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation. So please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Jennifer Suzuki at, you got it, Jen Suzuki. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn how to increase your appointment show ratio today. Jen Suzuki, it hasn't been that long since I've seen you, has it, my friend?
Oh, just hours.
That's right. As I mentioned earlier, Jen Suzuki just presented at the Women in Automotive Conference where I was the MC. She was a keynote presenter, and she slayed it. And thank you so much for presenting at the Women in Automotive Conference. It was wonderful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was pretty awesome. But now we're back, back in the saddle, and here to talk about this. And we have a lot of people on today's broadcast, by the way. This is a great subject. So you're telling us that things that we can do today can actually change our appointment show ratio.
Exactly. These are just techniques, and these are going to be tips today that I'm going to provide, and I really want to get into some of the objectives here so you can see kind of where we're going with this today. But before I do, I thought I'd just give a brief introduction as you look at these objectives on the screen. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, let's get into this thing. So for those of you that don't know me, I have been working in dealerships for 20 years, and I started this company 15 years ago. And one of the things that I really pride myself on is the fact that I go into dealerships every single week. I see a lot of different departments and setups and people, but my focus is about getting appointments to show on time. And there's a lot of components to getting appointments to show on time. Today I'm not going to be able to talk about all of them, but I'm going to be here to share some of my tips and techniques with you. And just know that as I'm sharing some of these ideas with you, you'll really want to modify them to your own personality. You probably want to get a pen and paper, take down a couple notes, but more importantly, just know that you can always reflect back on this because there is a link to the PDF on the screen now. So with that being said, I want you to know that some of the techniques I'm going to share with you today are things that I train on in dealerships every week. More importantly, I actually execute it live on live calls. I'll take a call, any place, anywhere, anytime, because I have a process and the process works. And really, that's kind of the biggest thing that I hope you walk away with today, is that you have some kind of a process when it comes down to setting appointments. There's a lot of components that lead up to an appointment that shows on time, as I mentioned. But today, let's look at some statistics, some light statistics that you should be aware of when it comes to calls. To me, calls are the moneymaker. It's not just like incoming calls, it's outbound calls, the internet leads to VBACs, it's data mining, it's conquest, it's lease retention, it's orphans, it's the phone is kind of a big deal, and it's a great skill set to focus on this year. We'll look at some statistics here, and I want you to be kind of looking at your process or be thinking about your process and be thinking about what can I add to my process to update it, to get it like to try some new things out, because I think if you're constantly in the mindset of, okay, I'm willing to change, I'm willing to try something new, you can make progress, and you might be doing really, really well right now. The question is how much better can you be doing with just reassessing your current process and asking yourself, does it really work? So I'm going to give you some techniques today for setting appointments, but more importantly, know that you can apply a lot of these techniques to phone calls and voicemails and text messages and video messages that you send out. So we'll look at their strategies now. Before we get into this, do we have a poll question?
Yes, we do. All right, audience, we only have 2 poll questions today. But you know what? We could really use your help on this. So I'm launching the first poll question right now. We'd love it if you'd get involved. We want to know, what do you think? What percentage of salespeople do not ask for the appointment? Which do you think is the right answer? Please select one. Do you think it's more than 80%? Somewhere between 60 and 80%? Somewhere between 40 and 60%? Oh, do you think it's less than 40%? Or the last answer is what? Of course, every salesperson asks for the appointment. Come on now. So once we have a majority of the votes, we're going to close this poll and share the results. Ooh, a lot of people are voting. I love it. Okay, once again, what percentage of salespeople do not ask for the appointment? More than 80%, between 60 and 80%, between 40 and 60%, less than 40%, or all salespeople ask for the appointment. Once we get, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you another 10 seconds or so, see if any more votes come in, and then we'll close this poll and share the results. And be very mindful. You have one of the sharpest minds in the auto industry right here on this webinar. So if you have a question or of any kind having to do with, you know, how do I convert? How do I get these people to show? How do I sell better? Anything like that. She's the one you got to ask. So make sure you write in those questions. We're going to get to the Q&A session after Jennifer's presentation. All right, here we go. We're going to close this poll, share the results. All right, Jen. It's kind of evenly split. Let's see what the right answer is. 29% of today's audience believe that it's more than 80% of salespeople don't even ask for the appointment. So almost a third of today's audience think that it's as bad as 80%. 27% of today's audience think it's between 60% and 80%. Another 29% believe it's between 40 and 60%. 15% think it's less than 40%, and none of us are wearing rose-colored glasses and think that all salespeople ask for the appointment. So, my friend, are you going to tell us what percentage of salespeople do not, in fact, ask for the appointment?
I am. So remember, today's big goals here, before we get into the statistic and this outcome, we want to make sure that we're delivering a high-level customer experience and we get appointments that show on time, right? So with that being said, I'm trying to get to the next screen, but it's not going.
You know what? I don't know why sometimes it does that. Go to the bottom corner, bottom left corner, and hover your mouse over the bottom left corner. Oh, I don't know what happened there.
Let's just try and There we go. Okay, so let's look at the outcomes, right? So 90% of calls end with no appointment, and here's our answer. What percentage of people did not ask for the appointment? 63%. That's kind of a lot, isn't it? I'm going to go back here. 63%. So I feel like you guys kind of were in the zone there. 66% of salespeople did not ask for the phone number. And 67% of salespeople did not ask for the name. These are alarming statistics, and I think that it's something that we kind of have to hang on to for a minute here and ask ourselves, does our process ask for the appointment? Does our process ask for a phone number? Does our process ask for a name? What are your steps during your appointment setting process? So I think the kind of the bottom line here is we kind of have to be thinking about, okay, when you are looking at your appointment setting process, when you're looking at your phone call process, have you written in to ask for the customer's first name? Have you written into that process to ask for the customer's phone number? Have you asked for the appointment? Have you got a last name? Have you got an email address? Have you got a cell phone number? New habits. Moving forward, I really believe that the things that I just pointed out, you've got to be sure that they're written into your game plan. Now, when you listen to your recorded calls, if you ever do, and I'm suggesting that you do moving forward, these are the things that you're really listening for. Forget about just getting a phone number. We need an email address. We want to make sure that we're maximizing our appointment show ratios. We want to maximize our appointment setting numbers as well. So first name, last name, cell number, email, and we always, 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 no matter what, ask for the appointment, right? Okay, so just know this, too, that you've got to have some kind of a transition as you're working towards your appointment setting process. You know, there's, I kind of look at, like, there's some key factors that needed to happen before I went in for the kill. I need to know, I need to make sure that it's a good time to ask for the appointment. So what I'm asking myself is, before I go in for the appointment, does this person like me? If I can check off yes for that, then we're moving in the right direction. Does this person trust me? Now, this is kind of a big deal because we're on a phone call. We have a limited amount of time for people to trust you, but you've really got to be able to say to yourself, have I wrote in questions and conversation that would lead to somebody feeling trustworthy towards me? Do they believe me? Do they feel confident in me? And do they respect me and my time? When I can say yes to all of those, that's when I know it's a good time to ask for the appointment. So a two-minute sweep, that's kicking it old school, peeps, right? Old school me.
I have known you many years, and I have never heard you say that's kicking it old school, peeps.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, a lot of the times salespeople are trained on processes that are seriously, they're so ancient, we need to, like, bury those and put them away. They need to go away. We have to be thinking about modern strategies that get appointments to show on time that meet today's buyer's expectations, right? So what I'm saying is that two-minute sweep is like, yeah, I got the car, when can you be here? And they don't like you, they don't trust you, they don't feel confident, they don't believe in you, they don't respect you in your time. It's not a good time to ask for the appointment. We got somebody live right now on the phone. Now is the time to make sure that we conduct a quality call. And while this phone call today is not about the phone process, I'm strictly talking about setting the appointment, just know that you have got to have some very important elements throughout this phone call, like selling yourself, setting the stage as a facilitator. I'm really big on this, and let me pause on this for just a moment. I strongly believe that if you're positioning yourself as more of a facilitator of a visit, which is accurate and true for salespeople, instead of car salesman, the person that they fear the most, if you position yourself early on in this phone call as a facilitator, and it would sound something like this. I take an incoming sales call, and they're looking at a vehicle they saw on my website. And I say, yes, let me check availability for that. I'm just pulling up my inventory here internally. I just want to be sure that I don't waste your time having you drive all the way down here if I don't have the vehicle, and I just want to double-check the accuracy. I'm selling myself right now. My words right now are what I call character selling, and it's really important that people get a chance to understand who they're working with. Like, what are you all about? What makes you so different than the five other people they're about to call? We got to stop them in their tracks right now. So if you position yourself right now as a facilitator, because wait a minute, you literally just told them one of the two things they were calling about or they're interested in knowing. They want to know price and they want to know availability. So now you're being proactive and you're saying things like, right, I'm going to check my availability right now internally. I just want to make sure that I have the vehicle. And while I'm waiting for this inventory to load, and I may have even more options than what you're seeing online, plant the seed for maybe some flexibility. I want to just right now state my value. So I might say something to the effect of, Mr. Customer, while I'm waiting for this inventory to load, real quick, I want you to know that I'll be facilitating a high-level customer experience for you. I'm responsible for making sure that we are fully prepared in advance of your appointment time. I do want you to know that I'm going to check for options today. Hopefully I have some, even more than what you're seeing online, but I'm going to guarantee at least one vehicle pulled from inventory. We do have sister locations. I have an off-site inventory storage facility, and I don't want you waiting around here at any time for to drive a vehicle. So I'll be making sure that we've got some at least one vehicle option pulled. And then what I'm going to do is arrange to have it rinsed. I'm going to arrange to make sure that it's got gas and that we have some light product information in a folder ready for you at a scheduled time. So looks like I've got the vehicles here on my screen, and I'm showing that that vehicle is still available. And now I can get into the vehicle and equipments and hot buttons and things like that. But before we get into setting the appointment, this element, it's got to exist in this phone call before you go and ask for the appointment. They need to know who they're working with. They need to know what the expectations are. If you work in a BDC department, that's the time to say, again, I'll be facilitating your visit. I work with a team of people. We all work together to make sure that you have a high-level customer experience, that it's professional and it's time efficient. I'll be responsible for arranging everyone here to be on deck and prepared to assist you. Whether you're buying a car or you're not buying a car, either way, just know that we value your time and we'll be preparing in advance. So, again, you know, I'm going to be a little bit wordy here today and give you a lot of examples because I want you to find your way. But this is paramount for this appointment, is that prior to us getting into scheduling anything, they need to know a little bit more about you and the legwork. I call it the hustle. So, like, if these people don't know what the hustle is, don't set the appointment, because they've got to buy you and a car buying experience. And here's the thing. We want appointments that show on time. Anybody can set appointments. Anybody can take an order. But appointments that show on time, they like you. Like, they trust you. They believe in you. They feel confident in you. And they respect your time. And that's what I'm talking about. That's who I want to roll up on an appointment at a scheduled time to meet me. I want them in that zone. So you can create these environments as long as you kind of have a game plan on paper and you're really kind of mapping out where you want to go in this phone call. A lot of things can happen in this phone call, but if you don't have a process, they're going to go all over the place. We want to have them kind of walking down a path for a showed appointment. Let's get into this, setting appointments. Okay, so first I'm going to give you some techniques here, and I want you to really be thinking about how you're going to make this transition to book a meeting. So I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions here. When I conduct phone calls, whether it's to an internet lead callback or it's an incoming sales call, again, I have an introduction, but I'm selling the value of myself. I'm positioning the expectations of the visit immediately. You're going to have to be thinking about how you're going to transition into setting this appointment. I like to, after I've sold my value, after I've confirmed the vehicle, provided some options, identified hot buttons and deal breakers, after I've done that, I like to actually invite them to receive an offer on their vehicle, if they have one. Even if they tell me they don't have a vehicle, I'm still going to state this because it's, again, character selling. It's positioning myself as a person that's here to assist them in a five-star experience at the dealership, right? So I might say something to the effect of, hey, I know earlier you told me you're driving a 12 Camry. I want to get you a value on that. You'd probably like to get another offer just so you have options. What I'd like to do, with your permission, is schedule a professional buyer to be on site on the premises and ready to evaluate your 12 Camry and provide that offer for you. But I don't want him to be at other locations, out to lunch. So if it's okay with you, I want to make a note here that that's kind of a big deal to you, and I want to be sure that I schedule another person to be on deck and available. I'm tying a second person to this appointment. Again, we want appointments that show on time. I don't really want to be giving values on vehicles on the phone, but at the same time, I recognize this. They've already been on Tim doing the KBB thing, and they're kind of a little bit crapped out because they got lowballed. And now when I come in and say, I'd like to provide you a cash offer, or I'd like to have a professional buyer here, or I'd like to make sure that you at least get an offer, a real offer on your vehicle, someone that's willing to buy your vehicle today, right, then they understand that it's kind of important to show up on time. So, again, just some other techniques that you might want to incorporate into your phone call. But here's the thing. Before I get into step one here that you see on your screen, I really needed to guide the phone call in this direction. As soon as I've mentioned scheduling, right, a live buyer or a professional buyer to be on site, that's my transition. That's my invitation to start setting this appointment. So I might say something to the effect of, right, okay, Jim, speaking of schedules, I'm pulling up my schedule now. That's my transition. You need a transition here. So I'm like, hey, Jim, speaking of schedules, I'm pulling up my schedule here. I want to make sure that we've set the proper amount of time aside for you. I do want to have that vehicle pulled ready and waiting for you. So are you more of a weekday or weekend sort of person? Alternatively, you might say, are you more of a morning person, or do you like late afternoons, evenings better? Any of these transitions will help you allow the customer to see that, well, we're putting them on the books. This is an organized meeting. It's not just like, yeah, what's a good time for you to come in, which is what most people do. Know the difference, right? What's a good time for you to come in says to the customer, my schedule's not a big deal. Pop in whenever you feel like it. Yeah, my day's off. Sure, I'm down for coming in on my days off. Whoa, work more than 10 hours a day? Yeah, why not? And we all know that we value our own personal time. So be careful and cautious when you're approaching the appointment that they're on your schedule. But again, remember, prior to setting the appointment, you've already planted the seeds that you're facilitating a professional meeting. So you might even kind of get into offering those two dates and two times, right? I like asking people things that are non-pressure. I don't want to ask them things like, what's a good time for you to come in? Because it is kind of like suddenly they have pressure. But if I ask them lighthearted questions, again, I might even offer them specific times. Weekdays or weekends, they say, yeah, sometime during the week, Tuesday is my day off. I ask them, are you more of a morning person or a late afternoon, evening kind of a person? Mornings are better for me. I have actually a 9:15 and I have a 10:45 in the morning on Tuesday. Which one works better for you? This sounds really elementary, but I think that you'll have to stop and ask yourself, do you have a process that allows you to schedule on your schedule? It's kind of like even the service department scheduling appointments. I don't want to be asking customers what's a good time for them to come in, because then I have 12 appointments all at the same time, and I might not have loaner cars available, and my shuttle service might not be ready, and we can like open up a whole new can of worms with problems if we just approach it as our schedule is a big deal. How are you going to explain that you're going to send an appointment confirmation via email? So I like this, and I feel like this is, again, very helpful for getting appointments to show on time. That is our goal. I like making promises and delivering to customers prior to them ever coming into the appointment. This builds respect and also creates the consumer confidence in you. Make a promise and deliver it on the phone call. It doesn't matter if it's right here while you're setting the appointment, or maybe it was earlier in the phone call when you said something like, I actually found a couple other vehicles that are not listed online yet. I'm going to email these over to you. Go ahead and spell your email address for me. So earlier in the call, I might have had a reason to ask for the appointment, or I'm sorry, to ask for their email address. But now I need to be sure that I have an email address, because at a minimum, I want to send them an appointment confirmation. Again, elementary, but if you're not sending an appointment confirmation, or you're thinking, oh yeah, my CRM automatically sends that, that is not what I'm talking about. To get appointments to show on time, we need to have like a little bit more of a personal conversation. We need to have more customization going on during this phone call, showcasing your concern, care, respect for this opportunity. So we need to make sure that we're asking for an email address so we can promise something and deliver on it, at a minimum, an appointment confirmation. So I might say something to them to the effect of, I want to make sure that you have all of my contact information. I want to make sure that you have directions to the dealership. I want to make sure you know exactly what to bring for your appointment. So I'm going to send you an email in the next hour. Mr. Customer, it is 12:23 right now. Oh, actually, it's 12:27 right now. I'm making a note here that by 1:27, you're going to get this email from me. That's making a promise and delivering on it. You know, you can send it in 10 minutes, but it's good to just plant that seed that, hey, I deliver on what I say I'm going to. We're creating consumer confidence on this phone call so they like you and they believe in you. Remember, there's like two of the five things we were talking about before we hit them for the appointment. Okay, so what question are you going to ask to confirm the prospect's email? Be thinking about this, because sometimes it can sound really invasive, because when you're like, yeah, can I get your email? That's not professional. But if I give them the benefit You know, like, I want to send you some vehicle pictures, or I want to send you a video walk around, or I'd like to go out to the vehicle and confirm the vehicle listing, and I'd like to email you the listing so you can have a look at the details to be sure that we're on point. I might say something like, I just want to send you my contact information. Whatever you're sending them, I'm giving them a benefit first, and I'm saying, and I'm just tabbing over here to your email address, and I want to go ahead and add that to your record so that's not lost. Go ahead and spell that for me. Is personal and custom. So far, so good?
Yeah.
I know it's a lot, and I talk fast. No worries. It's recorded. You can always come back to it.
It's so funny because actually, I'm just going to let you know. Who was it? It was Tony. Tony wrote, and he's like, move away from the Red Bull, Jennifer. Holy moly, that's a lot.
Literally, you're not the only person. I get that every single day because when I get into this, I just get so passionate about it because, you know, these are small details that add to gross profits, bottom line. These are very small details, but here's the thing. Phone sales, like, people hang on to every single one of your words to put you together. And if you don't have any excitement in your phone, like, the customer's never going to get excited either. All right, putting the Red Bull down.
Is that what you're drinking? Are you, in fact, drinking Red Bull? Tell me the truth. I know it was...
No, it's so funny. You're actually going to like this. I don't even drink caffeine for this reason. I'm already, like, caffeine heel.
You know what? I know people aren't going to believe me either, but I don't drink any caffeine either. So I'm with you, girl. All right. Keep going.
Okay, so what we were just saying was, you know, be sure that somewhere in this phone call that you make a promise you deliver on it prior to them showing to the appointment. This is going to add more value to you, and it's going to add more meaning to the appointment. It invites confidence and respect from that consumer. So you could even just promise a text. You know what I mean? But if you give them a time frame where you're like, hey, I'm going to send you a text with the address. It's easy to pop in your mapping directions. Or I'm going to send you a text with a video introduction so you can put a face to the name. I'm going to send it over to you in the next hour. If you add a time frame, it just, again, is showcasing your character and that you deliver on your promises. So we want to make sure they know how to get to your dealership, right? Because you just set the appointment, and we hate it when they shop with other people and they show up to, like, other locations thinking they're coming to see you. Again, if we're going to get appointments to show on time so we can sell more cars, we've got to make sure that they know exactly how to get to your dealership, even if they've already bought a car from you before. We just want to be sure. So we might say things like, hey, I want to make sure that I get you door-to-door directions, or I'm going to text you. I prefer texting customers. I think you have to tread carefully when it comes to texting, know your federal laws, know how to be legit and legal, but at the same time, know your options. You don't have to just text them the address. You can include it in an email. You could put it in a video to them. But I want to be clear that this should be part of your really strong appointment setting strategy. It's not just about telling them where you're located along with landmarks. They need something physical to see, right? Okay. I have to just kind of pause because I'm talking like a little bit about text messaging here, and I feel like this is a core important factor for getting appointments to show on time. And there's some gray area when it comes to texting. I'm sure you're aware of some of the laws,
right,
that people in general don't follow. But I have to say, if we want to get appointments to show on time, if you have a text dialogue going down, like, that is definitely increasing the opportunity for you to get a showed appointment. So there's a lot of different areas in the phone call that you can initiate a conversation with text message, but make sure that you're writing it in. I like to ask people for their number, but before I ask them for their number, I want to give them a benefit to that. I'm not just like, yo, what's your number? I want to make sure there's more substance on this phone call before I ask them for their personal information, because we don't want people coming back and they're like, oh, no, I'll wait. You know, that means they fear you. We haven't given enough information to feel comfortable with you just yet. So you might even just kind of let them know that you would like to send or a picture of you so they could put a face with the name. But, again, these are just different ideas on getting this in into action. I want to be sure, too, that they have your contact information, so you might just be texting your contact information. In any event, we need to ask permission, right? So if you have an opt-in that can get a little bit complicated, especially when there's like the double opt-in nowadays. So you kind of requires a little bit of an explanation. So you might remind them that, hey, I'm going to, okay, it's okay to text you, great, I'm going to send you an opt-in now with my message. As soon as you hit yes, you'll view my message. There's a little bit of a different, it's a little extensive, you know, process to text here. We just want to make sure that your information is saved and that it's secure and that we're following legal processes to provide you the highest level of customer service. There needs to be something stated that kind of invites them to understand, okay, right, this is kind of a bit of a process, because the texting through the CRMs can get a bit of annoying to some people. It's just a kind of a drawn-out process. But any event, let's ask for permission. Give them a good reason to why you're going to be texting them. Give them the mapping or your contact information or video. Sometimes I like to tell people, like, hey, I saw this really awesome video on the vehicle that you're looking at. If it's all right with you, I'll send you the YouTube link. And I'll text that. This is key for appointments that show on time. Ready? You've got to remind them of your hustle. If you're going to prepare for people, no matter how small that prep work is. So, like, recently I was in San Francisco. If you're working in a big city, New York, San Francisco, you know how difficult it is to find a parking spot. Know your value. In San Francisco, in the city, in New York, a parking spot is a very big deal. I sell it on all of my phone calls. I'm going to reserve a parking spot. I'm going to get out there in the morning, and I'm going to wait around. I'm going to get orange cone. I'm going to be waiting for a parking spot for you. No matter how little it is, it helps you tell the story. This is phone selling, and every visual that you can give them helps them to like you, trust you, believe in you, feel confident in you, and respect you. Remind them of anything that you're going to do in advance of their appointment. If they're coming in at 9:15, let them know you're coming in early. I'm scheduled to be here at 9 o'clock, but I need a full hour to prepare. I'm going to put you on my schedule to come in at 8 o'clock on Monday so that I can get the vehicle pulled from inventory, that I can go down to our warehouse and have that vehicle pulled. Sometimes they're three cars deep. I might even say, to paint the picture, I'm sitting on 15 acres of property. There's over 1,500 vehicles today here. Whatever the truth is for your store, allow them to see the hustle, the beads of sweat dripping from your head. But the truth is that people will take advantage of you if you don't explain your character, what you bring to the table, what you're going to do for them. And oftentimes, like if you have a BDC, you've got this really sweet person on the phone, it's giving them great customer service. If you don't let them know that, hey, it's not just me that's going to be working to provide you this high-level experience, they're going to think they're going to be working with you, and they're going to be all let down when they roll up to their appointment, and you're like, oh, no, you're going to work with Jack over here. And they don't want to deal with Jack over here. You know, people, as long as they know the expectations, I feel that they're more apt to show on time. You have to understand that people do not like uncertainty. It's kind of one of the reasons why we love McDonald's, right? We love McDonald's because we know exactly what to expect. We know it's not good for us, but we know it's going to be quick and easy. We know no matter what country in, what state we're in, we know what those French fries are going to taste like, and they're good. But
okay,
we
so
know
we now
what
know what Jennifer likes to eat on her off time when she's not being watched.
Well, once a year, I treat myself to McDonald's. I'm not going to lie to you. It's so damn good. Anyhow, uncertainty is what we're kind of talking about. And my point is, again, just whatever your expectations are of the appointment, they're going to be meeting somebody else. If they're going to be meeting a manager, state the person's name if you can. And we don't always have to call them managers. I like to use team lead. I work with a team of people. Our team lead, his name is Tom. Please ask for Tom when you show up. Tom and I are going to have discussed everything that you shared with me today that I saved in your file. And Tom is going to be waiting for you at 9:15. And Tom and I are going to be working in advance to be sure that we have everything prepared to be ready to assist you at 9:15. We want appointments that show on time, right? So anything that we're going to be doing. Now, sometimes, and I do suggest this, when we set appointments, we should set up confirmations. Whether it's you or it's a team member or it's a robocall, we need to make sure that we have some kind of an appointment confirmation process in place. So let the customer know what to expect. Mr. Customer, just before your appointment, now, of course, this is not for the person that's showing up in 30 minutes, right? Okay, but someone that maybe we set an appointment for 24 hours, we're going to let them know that we are going to be calling or texting or robocalling an appointment confirmation. Well, if you're my dentist, you went crazy. He sends me like 3 emails, 3 text messages, and I'm like, all right, I get it already. But again, people, if they know what to expect, they're not as annoyed. I say things like, oh, and by the way, our customers love appointment confirmation reminders. I know I do. We know how busy your schedule is, so just know that you're going to get a text message or a phone call, maybe both, and even an email, just reminding you of our time together. Again, we value your time and do want to make sure that we're fully prepared. I hope this is helpful for you in just fine-tuning your appointment setting process. Of course, I would like for them to get involved, too, if they can, like, you know, play along and take action as well, then we are forming relationships. And there is confidence boosters on both ends. When they call you and text you and tell you they're on their way, you're like, hell yeah, here we go. And I feel a lot better about my appointment when I know that they are on their way. So boost your excitement by just asking them to send you a quick text when they're on their way. Give you a quick call when they're on their way so that you know that you're aligned and you need to give them a benefit. You might even just say, when I know that you're 5 minutes away and I can't make a promise on this one, but I'm going to do my very, very best, Mr. Customer, I'd like to get out there, crank that AC. It's friggin' hot out there, and I want to get the car cooled down for you if I can. Now, my question to you, if they think that car is running, are they more inclined to show up on time?
I would hope so. Because otherwise, that's pretty rude. People don't like to be rude, I don't think. I think people want to give the appearance that they're not rude.
I totally agree. But again, these are little details that can allow people to see the importance of an on-time appointment. Maybe we have a question?
Yes, we do. Audience, remember I told you earlier we had 2 poll questions for you? Yeah. Second poll question is on the screen now. We want to know what you think about this question. So here's the question. What do you think phone shoppers value most in a salesperson? Guess what? We're only asking for 1 answer. And there's actually been some research on this as well. And Jen's going to let us know what the actual answer is. But we want to know what you think. What do you think phone shoppers value the most in a salesperson? Remember, we're talking about a phone shopper, okay? So do you think that they're looking most for the lowest price and a good deal? Do you think it's the availability and the options of a particular car? Do you think it's the dealership location or the years that they've been in business? Do you believe it's time efficiency or any kind of time savings? Or do you think that phone shoppers are looking for personality and a fun attitude? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. And yes, you heard right. Jen admitted that she loves McDonald's.
I could have put a better example with it.
he's so funny. He wrote, gosh, they sell more food than anybody, and almost nobody confesses that they actually like it. Nope. Jen Suzuki's right there. Okay. All right, now the votes are coming in nice and fast. All right, audience, I'll read the question one last time, then we'll close this poll. What do you think phone shoppers are valuing the most in their phone salesperson? Is it lowest price, good deal, availability and options, location of the business, years in business, time efficiency, time savings, or personality and fun attitude? And Jen, if you're ready, I'll close this poll and we'll share the results.
All right.
All right, here we go. Audience, thank you so much for playing along and voting in our poll questions. All right, Jen, 9% of today's audience feel that phone shoppers really value it when a salesperson can give them the lowest price or a good deal. But the majority, 51% of today's audience, believe that time efficiency or time savings is what phone shoppers are looking for in a salesperson. And then the remaining 40%, so still a lot of people, 40% feel that it's personality or a fun attitude. No one believes it's availability or options of the car, and no one believes it's the location of the dealership or the years in business. So, Jen, do we have a correct answer on this?
I think that your audience is on point. You know, it's about time efficiency, and it's a professional experience. The professional experience is doing things in advance to save them time. You know, I can tie in some of your personality and fun attitude into that. I mean, with 91% of people today believing it's between time savings and personality, then I'm pretty sure that you got something out of the content that we're covering. Because here's the thing. Your poll question kind of jammed it up, I think, a little bit.
Sorry.
You know, the thing is we have to understand that time savings is really the only thing that we can sell on phone calls. We cannot be the lowest price. There's no such thing. You focus everything on a phone call about a price, they got nothing else to go on. You're nothing but a price, right? And availability, oftentimes we know this. Customers come in and they buy something completely different than what they told you they were going to look at on the phone. We got to get them here. And they need to see a little bit of action about you and the time savings that you can provide. It's what you're going to do for me, not what the dealership's going to do. But we've seen people, as you mentioned earlier, flying across the country to pick up a car today, right? I mean, is it really about location? Is it really about the lowest price? Is it really about availability? Is your phone call structured accordingly? Because if the majority of the phone call is talking about the price or availability or both, we have a problem. We're not meeting the buyer's expectations. This person, your prospect, they want to have their minds blown about customer service. And the customer service that you can bring is really about how you can save them time. So, I mean, going back to what you can bring to the table, your hustle, you might even make it even stronger. Put that on steroids. And you might say things like, it's going to take me about 20 minutes to locate the vehicle and make sure that I have the keys and that it's pulled out of the inventory. It might take me another 20 minutes to make sure that I get the vehicle rinsed and gassed. Do you see that as I associate a time savings, I can exceed expectations about how I'm queuing up to unleash an awesome experience at the dealership. So think about what your time savings are. Be specific about what you're actually going to do. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to get the car ready for you. That's not selling yourself. That's not presenting your value. Be clear, concise, and associate actual time savings with your hustle. If you're not going to have a vehicle pulled up front, don't tell them that. Just say, I'm going to put the vehicle back in its home because our inventory is really tight here. We have very limited parking spaces, but just know I'm going to put your name on the car so we know exactly which one it is. I'm going to have the keys ready. I'm going to go right out there, walking them through what it's going to be like when they show up. This makes people comfortable to show up on time. If you have a sophisticated buyer, they already know what they want. You have agreement terms. You have the vehicle. Let's load up the paperwork for them. We need to show them a delivery experience, right? If they want to get just the vehicle of value on their trade-in, again, let's make sure that we schedule somebody to be on site and available. If we can have a folder ready for them with some light product information, even some vehicle history, these are all things that we can state as part of the reason why we would schedule formal meetings so we can showcase our value and the importance of that on-time appointment. If you have somebody else involved at this appointment time, make sure that they know who that person is and why they're involved. Using terms like manager is scary, but using things like I work with a team, we all work to deliver a high-level customer experience to people. We want to make sure it's a professional one. And I'm going to be in charge of making sure that everything goes nice and smooth for you, Mr. Customer. This is phone etiquette. And speaking of phone etiquette, as you're delivering some of your value statements, you might consider saying things throughout your phone call that might give them a little insight about your character, even more so than what we just shared here today. You might be saying things like, I'm writing this down. Oh, Joe, thank you so much. You said no red, but you're open to every single color. I'm just documenting that now so my team can also see what's important to you. Joe, I am updating your record now. I want to make sure that everyone can see everything that we discussed. I might say things like, I recall you mentioning. When I say, I recall you mentioning, or I recap the vehicle that they stated was important to them. These are all phone etiquette elements that will help you create awareness about how you conduct yourself and what is to come when they show up. So I want to just recap a couple key points here that we covered. Making sure that people know who's involved in the appointment, important factor. They're not caught off guard when they get there, and they're not let down when they get there. We want appointments that show on time, so if there's other things, if there's actions we can take to ensure that people see the hustle or the meaning of the appointment, such as, again, scheduling a professional buyer to be on site or scheduling a bank representative that can consult with them on their current credit situation and provide vehicle options. Anything to this effect would help tie a second person to an appointment. When a customer says no to your appointment, don't take no for a final answer. Know this, that when they say no to the appointment, we can schedule a time to call back to set the appointment. That's right. We can schedule a time to call back to set the appointment. So every single phone call, we're setting an appointment, even if it's just a callback. So I might serve up some dates and times. When they say, no, I got to talk to my spouse, I'll say, absolutely, let me provide some options for you right now so you guys have something to talk about. I'll document these options here in your profile. I'll make sure that I text you or email you. That way you guys can discuss them and see what works best for you guys. And then I'm going to put you on my calendar to call you back same time tomorrow so we can firm up a date and time that does work for you. Alternatively, I can say things like, okay, well, it's early today. I'm going to email over these options to you so you guys can chat about them sometime today. And then I'm going to schedule a call back to you before I head out of the office today. I am going to set this appointment. So put some examples here up on the screen before we close this out today. Just know that I can schedule an appointment no matter what. I cannot say no. You need to ask them for a callback. Know this, that we want to make sure that we write in our phone call processes, that we have appointment confirmations queued up in that. So while I'm setting the appointment, they need to know that they're getting in a confirmation, whether it's an email, phone call, voicemail. They need to know about text reminders. If you're sending video messages, they need to know about these as well. I really believe that these actions will solidify the meaning of the appointment, and that is what today's webinar is all about. I send an email confirmation that looks like this. The important part that I want you to recognize is that in the very first paragraph, I'm popping it off like, hey, remember me, the professional one? So I'm like, hey, Jim, thanks so much for spending 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever your number was. Thank you for spending 10 minutes on the phone with me. I took a lot of notes, and I understand exactly what you're looking for. You said you like the navigation, the Bluetooth was a necessity, and you absolutely have to have the rear backup camera system. I documented everything that you shared with me. I know that you're open to imports and domestics, and you are open to a one-year only older certified pre-owned vehicle, but you prefer new. Our appointment is set for date and time, dealership address. This is the important part for your appointment confirmations, and while the system might be pumping them out, it's in your best interest to customize and personalize, to recap your conversation, because when they see that you've recapped it, they're thinking, what about you? You're a professional. You're somebody that cares. You're showing true interest and appreciation for this person. Second paragraph, reminding them of what you're going to be doing in advance. Reminding them of the actions that you want them to take. Call you on their cell. Call you on your cell. Text you on your cell when they're 5 minutes away. These are all just recap reminders of your phone conversation. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of this or any of the examples I show on the screen here, you can email me at the end, and I'm happy to copy and paste because nobody likes to retype things. I like to use this checklist when it comes to confirming the appointment, if we have any managers on the call, this is a checklist I'm happy to send to you as well. But as you're listening to your recorded calls, which I suggested earlier, if you're going to implement any of the techniques today, you'll have to write them into your call. You'll have to train yourself on them because you won't recall all of these things when you're on a live call. And we don't want to mess up the live calls. That's our bread and butter. But this is a checklist that I like to use as I'm listening to a recorded phone call and check myself. Did I do these things? These are the actions that we just talked about in a checklist format. When you're listening to your recorded phone calls, this is, again, an action that you can take to ensure that your appointments show on time, that we set more appointments. When you're listening to your recorded calls, you're evaluating your performance. You're caring, you're showing concern mentally, internally to yourself that you care about personal growth, these things. You're really literally training yourself to be your very, very best. When you listen to that call, ask yourself these questions. What did you hear that will tie the customer to the appointment? Would you show up to that appointment? Does the appointment sound like one that you would board at the dealership? And what are your strengths? What are your opportunities? And what are you going to focus on next? When you're really assessing your phone calls and your appointment setting strategies, this is when we get to next level. When you're confirming the appointments by phone, these are the steps that I take. And confirming appointments by phone is a necessity. That we have a task scheduled. So as soon as you conclude that phone call and you set that appointment, you updated the status to appointment set, I want to make sure that you set another task to confirm the appointment to at least 24 hours in advance when that's applicable. And that we want to make sure that that phone call is actually completed. We want to make sure that you're using some kind of a guide to confirm that appointment and that you are leaving a voicemail. So what do you actually say? This is what I use. I use something to the effect of, yeah, hi, Jim. This is Jennifer. My name is, let me go back. Whether this is a phone call or it's a voicemail, hi, is this Jim? If it's a voicemail, hi, Jim, right? So we'll just make the modifications based on whether it's a phone call or a voicemail. So I'm saying, yeah, hi, Jim, my name is Jennifer, and I work with Eliana. I'm calling because I see you on our schedule for today at 3:15, and we'll be preparing an hour in advance for your visit at 2:15. We're looking forward to meeting with you. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's very simple. It's on point, and it's timely. They don't show up to their appointment, we got to still set the appointment. You know what I'm saying? Or if they show up to the appointment and they don't buy a car, we still have to follow up and set the appointment. So if you're looking for any kind of tools to help with showroom appointments, they walk, they bounce, they don't buy, we still need to get them scheduled back into the dealership. So you might be reading something like this and saying, I like some of the elements. This would help me increase my appointment shows. I want to thank you for coming in to ABC Motors today and for taking 2 hours. Remind them of your value. I understand that you really like the Toyota Camry and especially the rear backup camera, and you like the metallic silver. I know that you want to take some time, digest all the information before making a final decision. That's understandable. I'll call you and check in with you tomorrow. I'm making promises that I can deliver on. On your next visit back, I want to offer you our express service. I'll be preparing the vehicle, washing it, gassing it, making sure it's ready for you. We value your time. I really enjoyed meeting you. I put your notes in the file. Setting expectations all the time, these are techniques that are not only effective on emails, but as I mentioned, on the phone, voicemails, text messages. Remember today we talked about actions that we can include to deliver high-level customer experiences, ones that project actions that equate to showed appointments. People have to see and buy your value. What can you do right now? Be sure that you set the visit expectations early on the call. Remember, I kind of mentioned some of those techniques. I call it stage two, after your introduction. Sell the expectations of the visit. Approach your phone calls from a customer service perspective versus a sales perspective. We talked about a facilitator today. And start leading the conversation right away. Know your value at the dealership and always present it. With excitement, with a little Red Bull behind it. Right?
We are pushing some sponsorships over here. Red Bull, McDonald's. Come on, pay attention now. Go ahead.
Make sure that when we request their contact information, you're always including benefits first and state that you're putting these notes into the CRM. These are, again, actions that are going to help us with appointments that show on time. Ask to text the dealership address. We need them showing up. Text a quick video of you, waving your business card, or just a picture. Any of these things really just kind of personalize the experience for people. Appointment confirmation, phone call, voicemail from a teammate, letting them know that this is queued up, and sending them that recap email, which is also an appointment confirmation. And even if the appointment's not set, you can still recap your conversation and offer the times and dates that you suggested. And then make sure that they always know the legwork of the appointment setting. If you have an appraiser scheduled, or you're going to have the vehicle prepared, or you're going to have a folder ready, any of these things. Bottom line, map out your appointment setting process today on paper. Anything that you heard today, and I hope you got a few little pieces to upgrade what you're currently doing, it's got to go on paper. It's just like learning a new song. You hear a new song on the radio, it's not like you know it right away. You know, you need to hear it again. You need to, like, say it again. And if I can read actually what they're saying, I'm actually going to absorb it better. Same process here. Set a few of the goals that you learned today. Just a few. Don't try to nail all of these things today. Just get a few little pieces and hold yourself accountable to executing them this week. Then go back and add on the next layer. Add three more. I like three goals a week. I think that's manageable. And listen to those recorded calls and use an evaluation worksheet. We went through a lot of actions today to set any appointments. I showed you 10 steps that are really kind of a base foundation. We talked about some phone etiquette techniques that you can weave in between that. I showed you some examples that you can say and use on the phone. But we went through a lot of techniques in just a short amount of time, and that is my time today. If you have any questions, let's hear them.
Oh, yes. We have questions. And audience, you know what? If you even came up with some more questions, send those questions in. We're going to get to those questions in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to remind the entire audience, yes, this webinar is being recorded. And if you would like, I know a lot of people, like Kendra and Karen, and I have to look back at my notes to see who else wrote in, but a lot of people have been asking about you know, all the slides that you just showed, Jen, because you had so much great information in them. Guess what? Got it for you. Check the handouts section right now of your GoToWebinar interface. It says handouts, so open that up. You'll see 1 of 5. Yep, I got your slide deck in there for you right now. It's available for immediate download. It is in PDF form, so it should be very easy for you to get and download, and it has all the information that you just saw, which I know you were looking for. So do that, and Jen, are you ready?
What's up?
It's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, I announced that our good friends over at eDealership Solutions, they're giving away an awesome prize today on the webinar. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $100 Visa gift card. Come on, seriously, we can all use that. Buys a lot of McDonald's, let me tell you. Okay, so get ready. Get to your keyboards. First person to write in the correct response to our giveaway question is going to be winning this sweet prize today. If you're a vendor, of course, we love having you on the Dealer On webinars. Always do, always will. But we're going to ask you to please sit this one out. This prize is only intended for dealership personnel. All right, everyone, here we go. Good luck. The question is... Earlier in the presentation, Jennifer discussed different ways that you can encourage shoppers to make sure they show up on time for their appointment. Just name one. And no, email confirmation is not one. So, texting is not one. I am going to scroll up. Not how, but what would you say to them to get them to show up on time, to show up on time, not just show up, but show up on time. And in a little bit, I have a really funny thing that happened during the webinar I'm going to share with you too. All right. So let's see. No. Oh, I think I'm going to have to give it to this one. No, nope, that's not it either. Oh, there we go. We have a winner, Karen Botchin. She said setting up a time with the appraiser. That is definitely one of them. Karen Botchin, you are our winner today. Congratulations, Karen. I hope I'm saying your last name right. Botchin. Maybe it's Botchin. Botchin. I don't know. But Karen, write on in. Let me know what dealership you're with and what city and state you're with. Actually, I'm going to need your mailing address as well. So, Karen, write on in. Let me know what it is, just so all of you attendees would know. The correct answers that we would have accepted were that you scheduled a trade appraiser, that the car will be running with the air conditioner on, or that the car will be prepared for a test drive. There you go. We would have accepted any of those three answers. Karen was the first one to write on in saying setting up a time with the appraiser. So congratulations, Karen. I'm going to see if you wrote in and let's see. Oh, I can't say that, Karen, but thank you. So it's Botchin. Okay. She's with Newport Lexus. God, Karen, you are funny. All right, she's very happy about winning her prize. Congratulations, Karen Botchin. You are a winner of a $100 Visa gift card, courtesy of our good friends over at eDealership Solutions. And, of course, we've got to thank everyone for playing along. I know, we only had one prize today. You know what? That's what happens. But guess what? We give away cool prizes every week. So come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and who knows? That could be the day you win a cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. For right now, we're going to congratulate Karen Botchin, and we got to thank our good friends over at eDealership Solutions for their incredible generosity. All right, Jenny Suzuki, you ready?
Here.
All right. Oh, Karen, while I still have you on, I know you're with Newport Lexus. Can you please write in your mailing address so we can get that gift card out for you? And Jen Suzuki, come on now. Let's turn on those webcams. That's right.
I was hoping you forgot.
You thought I would forget? No, no, no. I want to see that beautiful face of yours.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Fearless shirt. Hello. All right, here we go. Let me scroll up and see what kind of great questions we have from the audience. Oh, what happened to your screen? Can you show your contact information?
There we go. Can you see me? I can't see me.
I see you. We see you. It's all right. Okay. Your first question comes in from Ikai, or we could just call him Kai. Apparently, he gave us permission. He says, how can I get her word tracks? I did happen to remind Ikai that you are a training company, and so most people get your word tracks by hiring you. But do you have any other advice for Ikai?
So if you email me, I can send you, I'm happy to send you what I use on the phone when I'm in dealership so I can give you, I don't use phone scripts, I don't like phone scripts, I feel like everybody needs to just kind of be their own person, and that's why I give you like a lot of techniques here today and prefaced it by saying, you know, you're going to hear some things, but you got to rework them into your own kind of personality, but I'll show you my game plan. I call it a phone process map. So, yeah. Happy to send that to you if you just email me and remind me exactly what you're looking for.
Wonderful. All right. Well, you heard her, Ikai, so let's go do that, all right? By the way, if you can't tell, super sweetest, most awesome and awesomest chick in automotive. Text her or email her or call her. She will do everything that she can do to help you, okay? All right. Oh, second question is actually from today's winner, Karen. She said, oh, I remember what this is from. When you were saying to you know, to tell them what time is best for you, such and such time or such and such time. And if they said that they like to come in late in the evening, but she's not actually scheduled to work in the evening, her question was, do I need to stay if they can come in the evening? Do I have to stay?
You know, it's funny. You always want to be, like, always doing what the customer wants to do. I used to do the same thing. But I think that if you approach this phone call with such confidence and setting expectations early in the phone call, they kind of walk into understanding that, first of all, they're going to feel more ownership to you. And so, like, if you say things at the end, and you need to be in a situation where you actually want to, that they actually, you're queuing it up where they feel confident in you, that they see what you're going to be doing for them in advance. They're starting to respect you more and more and like you more as the call kind of unfolds. I wouldn't be afraid to say to people, you know, let's look at some alternative evening appointments because I want to work directly with you. But, of course, like right out of the gate, if I say, oh, no, I can't do that time, obviously we don't want to do that. But, again, if you carry this phone call through, as I suggested, it's okay to say to people, I've got a couple of times on Thursday and Wednesday, and they say, well, I can only come in on Tuesday, and that's your day off. I mean, it is what it is, but at least we've tried. to move them. If you're working with a team and it's possible that you might be okay with splitting that deal, if you said early on in the phone call, I work with a team, it's not going to be like, oh, you're just passing them off to somebody else.
Right, right.
Or they, you know, there's no meaning in showing up to that on-time appointment because you're not going to be there. You know what I mean?
I feel you. All right, Karen, if you got a follow-up question, we want to hear from you, okay? Thank you so much for that. All right, next question. Not really a question, but kind of like he was giving us his feedback. Let's see what your feedback is. So Tony wrote in, and he says, I try not to use the word appointment or the phrase come in. I try get together, swing by, take it for a spin. Because, you know, we get together with friends, but we have appointments with doctors. And I've heard this before from one of one of your training compatriots. I think it was Corey Mosley that might have said it. So I know you use the word appointment, but you might have done that just because, you know, we were talking.
Yes, exactly. But I usually word get together or meeting. Things like that are a little bit out of the norm. So I like your techniques. I think those are very effective, and I think you're mindful. And that's really what I was hoping would happen here today, is that you're just mindful of the words that you're using, because you can change the way that people feel about you and the environment, yeah, by using different terms.
Right, right. Okay,
I don't use you for manager. I don't use manager. You heard me say that. Or like sales manager. I'll say our team lead. Or
I actually really like that. I don't think I've ever heard anyone use that, but I really like team lead. It makes it sound somehow...
team
more relatable, I guess, is the word. I don't really know the word I'm looking for, but I do like it. I do like that better than manager. Okay. Remember I told you a little bit earlier, I said, oh, I got a funny story to tell you? Here we go.
Yeah.
So if you were here when we started the webinar, I'd give some shout-outs. Trevor was one of the first people I gave a shout-out to. He was here nice and early. And he told us, you know, that he was here now, but he was expecting somebody to come in, and he probably wouldn't be able to stay long. Well, it turns out he stayed for almost the entire webinar. Because, why? Because his appointment was an hour late. So we were going back and forth about it. And he says that we rely a lot on the manager, the dealership manager, to call and confirm the appointments. And that means they have to talk directly to Bryce. And then he wrote, my guy is over an hour late now. The silver lining is I've heard almost the whole webinar live. Yay me. And then he kept writing in, very topical. I confirmed with him last night after supper. He texted me this morning about 15 minutes before his scheduled appointment and said he would be a few minutes late. But then it turned out he was over an hour late. And he said, and then later on he said, boy, oh boy, I really need this webinar. So he's not here with us now, but I thought I'd share that with you because I was like, wow. And I said, wow. Total irony, but I just thought that was funny, so I thought I'd share that with you. Okay, Trevor, hope you're selling that car, babe. Okay, William, next question's from William. He said, what is the best app for sending video by text? My phone resizes them way too small. Do you ever send video by text?
So, yes, and there's actually a lot of different apps going on out there right now. There's one in particular that I've been using. I'm slipping my mind right now. It starts with a B. Email me, and I'll give and I'll send you a contact person. But there is some really cool apps right now that are working. I have actually two of them that I use, and I'll email them to you.
Okay.
Because I can't think of what one that is that a newer company? it's got this really clever name too.
Darn it.
Gosh, I'm so sorry.
All right, I'm cutting you off.
I'll get it for you.
Too much Red Bull. Too much Red Bull will do that to you. Okay. By the way, both James and Tony, they're in complete disagreement with you. They said you have to dip your fries in the shake at McDonald's to make them taste good. And James says, tell Jen that Wendy's is better. LOL. All right, moving on.
Okay. So that used to be my thing back in the day. Wendy's, Frosties, and French fries. Mm-hmm. You just reminded me.
You're actually kind of making me hungry. All right, next question. Well, you know, they're both kind of the same. Tony wrote in, can you actually effectively deal with the price issue and have them still like you, even if you don't give them the price? And Clinton said, so how do you get them off price when that is all that they ask. So, Jen,
okay, this is an excellent question.
Excellent question, because a lot of people have that concern. They're scared to give that price. They're scared to talk price with them since they don't, they're not sitting in front of the vehicle. So, go ahead. Let's hear it. What would you do?
I mean, that's a whole nother seminar, a whole nother webinar, and maybe it's something that we can tackle in the future. But just to kind of give you a quick kind of synopsis. So we talked a little bit about today about the hustle, right? About what you actually conduct, what you bring to the table. Remember, I kind of said you got to slam dunk that at the early on in the call. And the reason why is because we already know this thing's going to be about a price. So let me just start you here. The greeting of the phone call is going to change the dynamic of the conversation. Now, a lot of people will tell me, oh, they always want a price. And I'm okay with giving people prices, but, you know, you got to be a salesperson on this phone call and look to kind of work your way around it. I mean, here's the thing. If you answer like an incoming call and you're like, yeah, hey, thanks for calling ABC Motors. This is Jennifer. How can I help you? The customer is going to throw up right now all over you. He's going to be like, oh, I'm on your website. I'm looking at stock number 2244A. And, I just want to know if that vehicle's still there and what's your best price. But so, like, you invited that. You don't ask them how can I help you because you already know why they're calling. That format right there, not getting leadership of the call right away, is going to create obstacles from happening. And while that wasn't really the focus here today, just know that you got to change up that greeting. So what's my suggestion? Get leadership of the call with single answer response required questions. So I might say something like, thanks for calling ABC Motors. This is Jennifer. And who am I speaking with? Like, right, it's Mark. Hey, Mark, are you doing your research on a new or pre-owned vehicle today? He's like, oh, I'm looking at a used car that I saw on your website. Are you on the website now? Are you looking at the vehicle now? Do you see a stock number so I can access it so I can make sure I actually have the vehicle so you're not wasting your time driving down here if I don't have it, but I have, might have some more options? Remember, we kind of went through that earlier today, and I'm kind of picking back up where we started today was, okay, while I put them on ice, I'm going to check the availability. Now gives me an opportunity to, like, say, oh, by the way, Mark, guess who I am. This is what I'm going to do for you, blah, 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 blah. Building confidence from the consumer. And we're, that's my phase one of how I'm going to handle kind of that situation is try to create a phone call process that avoids it. Now, inevitably, you're going to get hit with it. The point is that you want to sell yourself before you get those objections from the consumer. And it reduces objections. All we're doing is trying to tip the scale to be more favorable for you, right? I mean, it's not bulletproof. We're just tipping the scale to be more favorable. That's all at all times. So when somebody does ask me for the price, know your value. Is it one of those things like when you walk into a department store and you're like, yeah, I'm just looking at these pants. I mean, I didn't freaking drive all the way over there to look at pants. The salesperson said to me, instead of how can I help you, or, you know, and my initial response is, no, that's cool, I'm just looking. If they're like, oh, I noticed that you're looking at slacks over here. Now, is this going to be for a work? Is this going to be for work, or is this going to be for a special occasion? Single answer response. Get leadership of the situation, right? So when the customer says, I want to get a price, of course, I can help you with that. Now, did you get a chance to drive any vehicles yet? I'm diverting single answer response required questions. Does that make sense? So, like, I want to get a price today. My first line of defense is acknowledge. Yes, totally. I'm down for that. I can do this for you. But I need to make sure that I back it up with some leadership questions. Have you ever owned a Toyota before, if that's what they're looking at? Or what are you driving now? Are you driving a Toyota now? Did you get a chance to drive the new Camry? Single answer response required. It's going to be my first line of defense. Now they come back swinging, and they're like, yo, Jen, I need a price. I'm like, yes, of course. I want to get you that. I want your business. I don't want to lose it, and I want to make sure that I actually have vehicles for you. So we are checking the availability here. And what I'd like to do is make sure that I'm on the same page as you. My second line of defense is to get them involved in the process. You can drop prices all day long. The fact of the matter is they already have a price, and they can see the prices online. So it's you they're buying. So it's how you conduct yourself right now, and this might be just another webinar, it's how you conduct yourself right now that's going to be the distinguishing factor on whether you can plow through this successfully. I hope that's helpful.
Interesting. You know what? Maybe that is a whole nother webinar, Jen. We'll put that in our notes for next time. All right. Well, I hope that helped you out, both Tony and Clinton. All right. Next, let's see. Oh, Kendra asked, can we have these slides for training purposes in the future? Kendra, I hope you were able to download those handout or download the slides through the handout section of the GoToWebinar interface. They're sitting there ready and waiting for you to download, okay? If you have any problems, email me directly at Eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you so much. All right, next one. Karen says, can we get a PDF of this presentation? Same answer, Karen. Thank you. Okay, Tony. Tony writes, so if we do all of these things, what can we expect as an increase to our show appointment ratio? That's a loaded question, Tony. But let's see what Jennifer has to say.
I believe it's 30%. I believe that if you can execute a lot of the techniques that we talked about today, it's going to be difficult. I make it sound like a walk in the park, but this is like what I do for a living. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get on the phone, I do this every single day in dealerships. Like, that's why it sounds easy. But I know this. This is a fact. That's why I suggested earlier, if you don't get a game plan on paper today and have something to train yourself and you don't start putting this into play, like, today while it's fresh, it's never going to happen. I believe it's 30% showed increase in showed appointments.
Right.
When you are not executing the appointment setting strategy, but you're using some of the other phone techniques that we talked about just now, the greeting, getting leadership of the call, having those follow-through questions ready to roll out, stage two of the phone call, sell yourself, set expectations, find flexibility. Don't get them all hot and sold on one car only. Schedule the trade appraiser or the professional buyer to be on-site. Then hit them with all of the stuff we talked about in the webinar today. You are able to execute all of that 30%.
Okay. You know what's funny is Tony also wrote in that he felt sorry for Trevor. He's like, never let your manager talk to an appointment. They will screw it up. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate the comment. All right. Next question comes to you from Megan. She says, I work for the service department, BDC. Can you email me some scripts for phone calls and or texts, or do you have any service appointment advice? That's from Megan.
Okay, so I alluded to some of those in the webinar today, you know, about setting expectations of the visit.
Mm-hmm.
If you email me specific questions that you have, I don't have specific scripts. I don't do scripts for anybody. I train on techniques and allow you to customize your own experience. That includes the techniques that we're talking about in your own verbiage, right? So if you have scripts you want me to have a look at, I could take a look at them and I could give you some actual, you know, tips on what you're currently doing. That would be a better flow for me. But this is what I do for a living. I come in, I do service training. Last week I did service classes for like three different dealerships. What am I talking about? I'm talking about making sure that we schedule appointments on your schedule and not like all at the same time and preventing a lot of the obstacles from coming up. Like with shuttles and loaners and stuff like that. So it's the same process that we talked about here today. You got to get leadership of the call right away. You got to state the expectations. I want to know, is this a new customer or is this an existing customer? Single answer required question. If it's a new customer, I'm going to state my value. Hey, Megan, I just want to let you know that we value you and we know you have a lot of options, and I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity. If you're going to be waiting, you should know that we have state-of-the-art waiting facility with snacks and refreshments waiting for you. We have free Wi-Fi. We have a kids area with video games that will keep them occupied. Most of our customers, 75% of our customers, they prefer to wait, and just know that it's a really comfortable environment here. You know what I'm saying? We also offer a shuttle at 7:30 and 9 o'clock over to, you know, the mall. And if that's something that interests you, just give me a heads up. I want to make sure that your visit with us goes nice and smooth, right? So it's going to be different for every department, but it's the same philosophies.
I love it. Megan, you got – oh, she already wrote in. Thank you. All right, Megan, take her up on it. Email her directly. Let's see how Jennifer might be able to help you out at your service BDC. All right, Megan had a follow-up question. It's more for me, not for you, Jen, but – her and Henrietta were both wondering about the link for this recording. Yes, I will be emailing it out to you in just a few hours after the webinar, so check that out. Also, you can find it at dealeron.com/webinar. As a matter of fact, if you still have the link from the invitation, guess what? Same link. Hit that link again, and instead of being a registration page, now it has the webinar recording on it. So, it's just between you and me. That's it. Okay, here we go. Next question comes in from Devin, and he says, how many people are actually using video messages? In your opinion, in your world travels, Jennifer, Do you like video messages? Should we do that?
Yeah, no, I am really, really big on the video messages. First of all, it's like less than 10% of the people. And I would say that people that hire me are a little bit more progressive dealerships. They like training. They're willing to spend money on training. They want new ideas. They're generally like above average. Knowing that and being less than 10%, I mean, you're just not seeing it out there, which is another reason why you want to do it, because you want to separate yourself from the competition. I always make decisions based on what I'm going to say to customers, what I'm going to present to customers, the questions I'm going to use, how I set my appointment, how I present myself, with one of two things. You know, what's my competition doing? Are they doing this? No? Check. I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And is this something that's different, that's really going to be an eye-popper for somebody? You know, video, that's where it's at.
I love it.
And I'm like Snapchat.
Really?
I really don't want like some long-winded video. Like, let's make this quick.
Gotcha. Okay, two questions left. If I haven't asked your question, guess what? I'm about to ask it, all right? So stick tight, because these last two questions are really good. Shoot, a third one just came in. I lied. Three questions. Okay, Kendra's question is, how do you handle customers that come in for appointments and somehow forget your name or get snatched up by sales before introduced to you? This is from a BDC coordinator perspective. Oh, Kendra, I hear you. The plight, the struggle is real. So, Jennifer, what would you recommend? It's one thing to get them to show up on time. How do you get them to remember your name?
Okay, excellent. So I hope that you were listening today, because there was a bunch of, I don't know if you were on the whole time, but there were some really important factors. Like, I want to make sure that they get a text from you, that they get a text reminder from you, they get an email from you, not an automated one from the dealership, but from you recapping what you acquired when you're using phone etiquette in the conversation. I'm letting my teammates know. I want you to know that I'm saving all this information. When you're sharing benefits of you, your behavior, like, this is what gets people to remember who you are. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just the video message would help you, would actually solidify, you know, who you are. You might even type your name on that picture that you send them with your name and your phone number. But, you know, the thing is it's got to be a quality call where you're walking them. From the very beginning, I state my name. You know, like, if it's an outbound call that I'm calling to an internet customer, I'm going to say, hey, Megan, this is Jennifer. I represent LeadService.com's AutoBuying program. I'm here to assist you in making sure your professional experience at ABC Motors, which is where I'm located. Again, my name is Jennifer, and I'm going to be working with you. I see that you've been doing some research online. You've been looking at a bunch of Toyotas. Did you narrow it down to the Corolla? Do I have that right? Awesome. Are you a Toyota owner now? Questions, right? And then I want to make sure that I stop, throw it into second gear. I'm like, okay, Megan, I'm going to check the availability on the Corollas right now. Again, my name is Jennifer. I do work with a team of people here. I'm going to be facilitating your visit. I'm going to be working directly with you. I'm going to send you an email message when we get off the phone, recapping our conversation. And if you could just email me back and just approve everything that I write to you to be sure that I heard everything accurately, I want to make sure that you're having a professional experience while you're working with me. I hope that's helpful for you.
Devin already wrote in, yes, loved it. And Kendra says, thank you for your response. Also, was the video messaging app you were talking about iJot? I know you couldn't remember the name.
That's not the one I was thinking of.
But Kendra, I've heard nice things about iJot as well. So, all right, thank you so much for that, Kendra. Great question. Okay, last couple of questions coming up now. Jonathan, great question from Jonathan. He says, it's bound to happen, but if we do fail to have a customer show for a scheduled appointment, what are some great follow-up techniques that we may have not thought about? So how do you follow up with somebody who maybe didn't show up for their appointment? Excellent question, Jonathan.
So first of all, there has to be a time frame in your mind and in your CRM to give the alert. I'm calling them in 15 minutes, and I'm sending them a text message in 15 minutes of their, of their appointment.
Oh, you wouldn't have waited the hour.
Really?
You never did.
Or ever, right? I mean, no. I mean, some people don't even follow up. The thing is, 15 minutes shows a sense of urgency. This is something to email me on. I can send you specific verbiage that I use, specific emails that I send, and specific text messages that I send that are doing nothing but saying, hey, I know a lot of people are running behind schedule. That's okay. It's summer. Schedules get busy. There's my out, for the consumer. So they're not like, oh, I can't email her back because I feel guilty. Like, I totally get it. I just want you to know I've got the vehicle pulled up and ready, but if you're going to be, like, a little bit late, just let me know so I can put the vehicle back and then have it rescheduled to have it brought back up for you.
Right.
Right? Guilt. But nice.
Guilt works, too? That's why my parents used it on me so often. Okay, next question. Last question, I think, comes in from Kurt. And he says, I work for an OEM in the field. Do you have recommendations for getting your techniques adopted for someone like me? Or when dealers think that they don't do anything wrong? That's from Kurt.
That's a tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, the thing that I would – so I used to be a vendor back in the day, and this was – I wanted to help dealers succeed, but sometimes – you know, it's just me coming in, giving them techniques. But, you know, here's one thing that I found helpful. And you actually mentioned this at the conference last week, is, or I think I mentioned it. But when you attain information like this, if you kind of type up something and you provide the link to the webinar and you just say the key facts, here's the key takeaways that I learned on this webinar. I spent an hour and a half on this webinar, and I learned this, 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 and this. And if you'd like to listen to it, here's a link. And this is now you associating value with you and appreciating your customer with it, but emailing it to them. And now it's not coming from you. It's coming from a third party. But it's your actions that are kind of helping them. And right. You can say, if you're interested, I could stop by and I could share some of the techniques with some of your team. I think it would be really beneficial, or, you know, I can include it in my next round when I come back around. But, you know, it is difficult. I like anytime I go somewhere and I learn something new, whether it's like the convention or it's a seminar or workshop, I like typing things out for my whole team so that they can see what right. I learned and get the most out of it. So I don't know. I hope that.
Kurt, thank you so much for the great question. Everyone, thank you all for your great questions. They were wonderful questions. By the way, Kurt just wrote and he says, agreed. Thank you, exclamation marks. All right.
But listen, you can always contact me. You can chat more about it in detail because I might have even more, you know, things for you that may, based on your specific situations.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, just reach out.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. That was great. Jen. I love webinaring with you, girl. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's not make it too long before you and I webinar again together, okay?
All right.
All right. Fantastic webinar presentation. Don't worry. Guess what? We recorded it for you. We're going to be sending you that recording a little bit later on today, so check out that link, or you can go to dealeron.com/webinar and view our upcoming webinars, too, or, you know, catch up on any webinar you might have missed, all right? Also want to tell you that this webinar is going to conclude in just a moment, and Jen's going to go to the next slide because the next thing I'm going to talk about, is the survey. This is going to be short. It's 6 short questions. So we want you to answer this survey for us, okay? We want to know what you thought of today's presentation and give us your feedback. It's very important to us. We can't get better unless we hear from you. So please let us know by filling out that survey. And, yeah, invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, and it is the Dealer On Academy Q3 Automotive Marketing Briefing, where we want you to join members of the Dealer On Executive Team, where we discuss current automotive marketing updates, industry perspectives, and best practices. This is a highly interactive webinar where the majority of time is dedicated to Q&A from the audience. The collective knowledge of Dealer On's leadership team includes retail automotive, marketing, technology, and service experience. So don't miss the 2016 Q3 Automotive Marketing Briefing with the Dealer On Executive Team. This is your opportunity to ask questions and hear from one of the most knowledgeable leadership teams in the automotive industry. And they're all going to be there, so we want you to be there. So don't forget, Dealer On's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. And we have some awesome webinar subjects planned for 2016. But if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, contact me directly. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio, and I'd love to hear from you. And I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you name it. I'm on all the automotive social networks. Or you know what? You can just track me down online and email me at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today. I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. And on behalf of me and everyone at Dealeron, and of course, everyone also at eDealer Solutions, I want to wish all of you a very happy
and a very safe Independence Day weekend. Take care.